And man, we got to start with F1, man. Just chaos. It was absolute craziness. You've got the crash coming on the first lap, and then something I've never seen before. Now, granted, I'm not Mr. Racer, but they come back to restart, and Lewis Hamilton is the only one on the starting grid. The rest are in the pits because they changed their tires, and Hamilton then goes around for a lap, maybe two, and then he has to change his tires again. Like, that was unbelievable. It was absolute chaos from start to finish. And then Vettel finishes second, and then he gets disqualified because he didn't have enough gas to test it after the race. Like, has that ever happened before?
The fuel thing has definitely happened before, but I can't say I've ever seen a start like that, where only, like, the closest start that I remember was back at Indianapolis, with what they call Tiregate these days, where one of the manufacturer's tires wasn't suitable and they weren't able to get through the final corner at speed and they were blowing tires. Only six cars took the grid that day. That's the closest thing I remember. But yeah, it almost looked like it was a parade lap where Lewis had the grid to himself. They made a decision and their team principal, Toto Wolff, after the race said that he felt like they made the right decision because it looked like there was going to be more rain coming, that they would make the same decision again. But to see one car on the grid, and then, you know, there was a bunch of chaos on pit road because as the cars were coming in and exiting, obviously they got spread out quite seriously, just with the caution. And, Kimi Raikkonen took out Nikita Mazepin right on pit road. George Russell, who's been fighting to get his first points of the year, which he finally achieved for Williams. When he finished his pit stop, he was going to come out in about third or fourth position, on the line, kind of made a judgment call. He went wide, kind of drove past three or four cars, stole a bunch of positions, which, led to the race director saying, you have to give those positions back. It looked like George Russell had a mechanical issue. Nobody saw what was happening on pit road because everybody was focused on Hamilton on the track. But at one point he just slowed down and he had to let the three or four cars by that he had jumped on pit road. Pretty lucky that he didn't get a penalty, but yeah, it was absolute chaos.
You know, we've touched before about, you know, the sportsmanship of battling with another racer, and you saw Alonso versus Hamilton, you know, the way they kind of were going at it, what made their interaction more sportsman than we've seen perhaps in the past where there was a lot of hard feelings?
Well, you know, to Alonso's credit, his car was like, if they were on the track with clean air, Alonso was about 3 seconds a lap slower than what Hamilton was doing. But because he's an amazing racer and he knows how to position his car, he was able to, you know, take positions without blocking, but to put his car in a position that made it virtually impossible for Hamilton to get a run. So it showed a couple of things. Shows that if you're a really, really heads-on driver, you can definitely hold a position. And the end result was it took Hamilton like eight laps to get by, which gave Alonso's teammate Esteban Ocon enough of a cushion. Once Hamilton cleared Alonso, he got around Carlos Sainz, who was in third place. By the end of the race, like within the last handful of laps, Hamilton closed down from like 10, 12 seconds back to be within a second behind Sebastian Vettel. Had he not been held up like that, he probably would have had a chance at the win. But the other thing that it really shows is with the current aerodynamics, which are all getting sorted and getting changed for next year, that it's hopefully going to make it a lot easier for cars to follow and to be able to pass when they're legitimately quicker. Because, like I said, once he got around Carlos Sainz, like, he took off. He was seconds a lap faster, and hands down the fastest car on the track, although he didn't get the fastest lap because somebody pitted for fresh tires and just made a one lap stab at that. But to basically drop from the lead to last place on track and to be able to drive back again, you know, shows that Mercedes is really their last upgrades have been really good. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, terrible luck for Red Bull and Verstappen to be taken out 2 weeks in a row by Mercedes cars, but in very different fashions.
It's interesting. Yeah, it was Paul Gasly who got the fastest lap late in the race. And you wonder, Hamilton might have been able to come back and win that race, except he couldn't pass the veteran Alonso. Like, Alonso, didn't give up an inch anywhere. And, just talk about from a racing perspective, Colin, and I think the fans actually voted him racer of the day just because, knew he didn't have the toughest car, and he did nothing illegal. He just made it extremely difficult for Hamilton to pass him for many laps. And that might have saved, because if you saw how close Hamilton got near the end, had it not taken him, I think it was like 7 or 8 or 9, 10 laps even to pass Alonso, he might have been able to challenge for the win.
Yeah, we've even seen it this year with go-karts that, somebody's maybe on an old set of tires. We typically get about two race nights on a set of tires. Sometimes people will try and push to a third race night. And by the end of the night, you can be a second to 2 seconds off the pace, which is a significant speed differential. Couple weeks ago, the third place driver, kind of did that, pushed into race three, held up, a pack of about 10 carts, to the point that there was a 14 second differential at the line between the second place car and the third place car, just because, this wasn't so much about good driving. This was actually fairly defensive, aggressive, kind of dirty driving. But, we see it in karts, and I'm not saying it's the same with Alonso. He did a really, really good job of knowing where he was fast, where he had to kind of position his car to keep Hamilton behind him. It was a great display of driving, for both drivers. I mean, Hamilton was patient. He didn't, take undue risk. He didn't take a chance. And, Alonso did his job, and for a driver like Alonso that has such a reputation of being a very selfish driver, I think, he definitely, he caused a lot of damage when he was last with Renault. They were still powered by Honda, and he made so many aggressive comments at how bad the engine was, and the engine was bad, to the point that Honda says that Alonso will never drive a car that has a Honda engine. And that played out when he was trying to run for Andretti at the Indy 500, and Honda said, absolutely not, that guy's not getting in the car. He seems to have matured to the point that now really what he was doing, he wasn't fighting for his position, but he knew categorically that he had to hold Hamilton up to give his teammate the chance at the win. And, but that's how it's supposed to work. A lot of times these drivers really get selfish, which is, kind of what you have to expect, because, you're judged based on your performance. But, it was great to see. I mean, I love hard racing. I love when guys can, go wheel to wheel without making contact. And those guys put on a clinic on Sunday.
Breaking down the world of racing with our very own Colin Livingston for the Cantorque Racing Report here on TSN 1260. The inaugural, first time ever, the Music City Grand Prix goes in Nashville. Streets of Nashville, absolutely crazy place, fun place to be. For their drivers, does it influence them or impact them at all that they've never, or at least as far as I'm aware, any have ever raced on these streets in this course? And can it create some surprises?
Oh, 100%. With this weekend's race, the team that unloads the best is likely going to be the one that's going to get the win, because no one's ever driven on these streets. In an Indy car, they've all got simulations that they've learned it. But when you unload your car, if you're not quite right with your setup, it's going to be a steep learning curve. Whoever the team is that unloads the closest here on I don't even know what the schedule is, but probably tomorrow for first practice is going to have a significant advantage.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. NASCAR, after a few weeks off, they get onto Watkins Glen Road. Now, is this the track you like, or is this the track you really dislike?
It's kind of a funny question, because the configuration that NASCAR runs is very different from what most series run. They take a big chunk of the road course out of you know, out of operation for the NASCAR guys. And I'm not sure why. You know, back in the olden days when, you know, these drivers weren't as adept at multi-disciplines as they are now, it made it pretty easy. The track is really primarily right-hand corners with only two or three lefts. When they run what's called the boot with the infield, it's a totally different racetrack. And I really prefer the longer track. It's a lot more exciting. It's got a little bit more overtaking opportunity. But no, Watkins Glen is a solid track. You know, it's still one of the holdouts to the original schedules when NASCAR was only really running at Sonoma and Watkins Glen. So no, this will be a great race. Usually, there's a lot of tempers. There's a lot of you know, kind of, if you make contact, especially going to like turn one, there's a big runoff area. But that's where we saw Jimmy Johnson when he was still running in what was called the Busch Series. You know, a million years ago, had his brakes fail, had to, you know, jump the track and you know, plowed it into the foam barrier that was there at the time, and, you know, jumped up on the top of the car, put his arms up, and, you know, kind of saying that he beat the crash. No, it'll be a good one. And, you know, you got to look at Kyle Larson here this weekend. He's definitely dominated the road courses. You know, Chase Elliott's going to be there. The Hendrick program's really good. Hopefully we see a good race.
And locally, you guys are out racing at the Rotax Mojo Raceway in the mighty Warburg. Intense night of racing, but a successful one for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I had, you know, first of all, the group did really well. We had a slightly lower cart count last night than we normally have. A lot of people are taking vacation. So I think we only had 17 or 18 carts on track. Still a very, very, very good group for a single class. Where we're accustomed to running this year over 20, it seemed a little lonely out there at times. But yeah, I mean, I kind of ran the gamut last night. I was able to take pole and win all three heats in my class. So that's going to help after a very, very, very bad week last week where I got disqualified for a equipment malfunction. But yeah, we've
got, whoa. Don't just gloss over that. What is that? How do you get disqualified? What do you mean? Were you cheating?
Well, So, as I mentioned, just over a week ago, I got hit pretty hard in Calgary. And what had happened is it caused a bit of damage to my bumper that I didn't realize. When we were in the second heat last week, my bumper actually deployed. So it, like, the rear bumper, mounts into the chassis and it came out and was dragging on the track. So it was an equipment issue. I got what's called the yellow meatball. We have a great electronic scoring system out at the track, and it showed that I had some kind of tech issue. But normally you can hear that. I wear these fitted earpieces to my receiver, so it's a one-way radio that race control can talk to us. So I couldn't hear this piece was, like, dragging on the track. And unfortunately, it was a 30 cent piece that I lost when it came out. I just didn't have the piece available, so I had to miss the final heat. So yeah, no, sorry, not glass, skipping over anything, but yeah, it was, last week was not a great week for the 87 cart, but made up for it last night.
Well, it bounced back. Sid the Kid, calling the Kid. Maybe that's what I'll have to call you in car 87 on the track. Now, before we let you go, Colin, the Roy Ross Memorial went out at the EIR in Wetaskiwin, right? They had the IMCA modifieds over 2 days. Tyler Knowles was the overall win. I think he was third and second on the weekend. But tell me about the Roy Ross Memorial. What was it for?
Obviously, a former racer in that series, Roy Ross. I can't say that I ever met the gentleman, but this is an annual event out at EIR. To get 16 cars on the track, that's a massive field. I did one of these races a couple of years ago. We had eight, and that was considered pretty decent for a Saturday race. But yeah, it's great to see Tyler. You know, he's one of our employees. We've known him and his family for, you know, almost ever. I mean, Tyler also doubled as a cheerleader at the gym for a number of years until he kind of aged out. But he's an employee here. We spent a lot of time over the winter getting his car kind of rebuilt, tweaked his engine a little bit. Had a lot of help and input from like my father-in-law and brother-in-law, who are both engine guys. So we, threw a few magic components on that engine, and Tyler drove a hell of a race, through the weekend. Just got enough points. He was, the best points average over the 2 days. I think he got the title by a single point. So yeah, really proud of him. He represented us well. And, when he got to victory lane, apparently I had to miss the race because we were coming back from Calgary, but, he made sure that he thanked the sponsors in a proper fashion. So yeah, I'd love to see that.
And quickly, we've got a lot of texters. Can you explain why Vettel got, demoted from second place to getting disqualified? What's the ruling? Now, he didn't have enough gas, so basically they're worried that they were, basically spiking the gas?
The FIA rule says that you have to finish the race with at least a liter of fuel. And from what the stories have indicated, he actually stopped on track. They knew that they were really low on fuel. He only got through a couple corners after the start finish line when the race ended, parked his car and had to run back to get on the podium. But they only had 0.3 of a liter, which isn't enough to conduct a proper fuel analysis. So that's what it came down to. I think part of it was they weren't expecting to be running up front and they weren't expecting to be in that kind of contention. So he ran a lot harder than they had prepared. They burnt a little bit more fuel than what they should have. And, unfortunately, we're in another situation here where Aston Martin is going to challenge the ruling, just like Red Bull did with the penalty on Hamilton. It's, I think it's kind of pointless because unless you can prove that your fuel was legit, which you can't with that small of a sample, it's just going to be an exercise in futility, but so be it.
Yeah, it's unique. Well, we look forward. They're, of course, on their summer break now until the end of August, but lots more racing coming up this weekend. Have a good week, Colin. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good, guys.